Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It was a major cultural and business shift of the tectonic plates that began during the pandemic lockdowns. And now working from home has become something of the norm in many businesses and companies. But last week, news that AIB is requiring staff to return to the office for a minimum of 3 days a week, rowing back on previous hybrid commitments, drew fury from staff and unions alike. But with tariffs beginning to bite and the economy on unstable footing, are employers right to warn of competitiveness disadvantages to this model? Or are we losing footing in attracting high-end roles without a national target for remote jobs? I'm joined by Tracy Keogh, the co-founder and chair of Grow Remote. Tracy, give me your reaction first to AIB's move, please.
My reaction is that we've been answering or responding to moves like this in 2018. And I suppose now we need to look at a bigger picture, a solution that would prevent, you know, these ongoing reactions. And we think that Ireland needs to set a target to win a percentage of the remote jobs available on the market into Ireland. People probably won't know that there's 100,000 remote jobs open across the European Union every month. If we set a target to win 5% of those, that's 5,000 jobs. And let me tell you what that would look like in two different ways. Now, if we were at full employment, the average salary of a remote job is 60,000, and that's a very conservative estimate. And we mightn't think that that's a lot, but actually the average salary of the lowest salaried counties across Ireland is 42,000. So if we were to bring in 5,000 jobs, that would be 48 million in taxpayer income per year. If we were to look at a recession, which is what we need to be thinking about now, I mean, if one FDI pulls out of a rural or regional place, we have left that town stranded. If we have remote jobs coming into the market, that's 118 million for the taxpayer. So in terms of AIB and any other company who since COVID has decided to pull people back in who were working brilliantly remotely or might have, and I know one of them bought a house in the likes of Kilkee because they felt really safe doing hybrid, have access to those 100,000 jobs that are available on the market. Revolut just last week announced 200 jobs available remotely. The problem is they're available across Europe. We need a national target to land those jobs into Ireland.
Some of your numbers are indeed very persuasive, but obviously CEOs, not just in AIB, but in every company around the country, are looking at the bottom line, are looking at competitiveness, and they're seeing where their productivity has taken a hit, and they've identified remote working as being a part of the problem. Obviously, there's many other economic factors at work here, but they think that they can improve that situation by removing hybrid working from the equation. How do you persuade them that they're wrong?
So I talked to one of my favourite founders and entrepreneurs in Ireland, and he is massively anti-remote. I'm not sure. In fact, I know he's not looking at the productivity figures. He is looking at network groups for entrepreneurs and CEOs across Ireland. And there is groupthink happening where they're all telling each other that they're not going to embrace remote, and they all have this false sense of security. If an employer doesn't want to embrace remote, they don't need to embrace remote. This doesn't need to be one silver bullet for every person and company across Ireland. We need to have a solutions-orientated approach to the problem, which is winning a percentage of the remote jobs that are available across the European Union, the same way we do with foreign direct investment and IDA. Employers are embracing remote, though. Like, we run the largest training program in Europe, actually, for remote work. And they are embracing remote. I mean, I don't have actually the numbers of jobs.
But hang on a second. Yeah. Explain to me how that doesn't create a problem, an unpleasant dynamic within companies when you have attracted a number of remote jobs to the country, but not everybody can work remotely, and you end up with a two-tiered workforce.
Yeah, so, well, if you've attracted jobs into the country, I mean, you shouldn't have that. You should have people who are working in companies or want remote jobs working in remote companies. You know, everything kind of should be lined up and aligned. And then for those companies, say like AIB, where they have branch staff who have to be on site and present, they will have that tension. And that probably was a factor in how they came to the decision to ask people to come back into the office. But I suppose there are organisations, again, like Revolut or Viva, or like those 100,000 remote jobs that are available across Europe. I mean, these are high-paying, okay. well-paying
but
careers.
So you're saying that they're not wrong in some instances to say, yes, OK, it does create an unfavourable dynamic. We need to have a level playing pitch here with everybody working the same number of days a week in the office.
It's not whether they're right or wrong. It's whether it's useful to debate it or how change will happen in Ireland. Like if you look at eBay are an unbelievable hybrid employer. And they have a remote workforce and people in the office. But their culture is remote first. And they do hybrid really, really well. And they don't have that tension. So some companies do it well, some companies don't. But my question is what will drive change for Ireland Inc., for the economy, for the social impact of hybrid work and office-based work. And that is winning a percentage of remote jobs into the market, okay. and also supporting Irish employers properly to embed remote. Like, there's no point in using just the stick with employers. You know, we need to support them with the cultural transformation to embed it properly.
There is a huge amount of on-the-job learning that comes from just being around your colleagues and seeing them work, listening to their phone conversations at the water cooler, which if you're working remotely, particularly as somebody at the start of their career, you're not getting the benefit of. So once again, do you think that the CEOs who are saying, no, a workforce needs to be in the office, might actually be right?
No, I think whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. So if you look at companies like Automatic, right, one of the world's largest remote companies, their revenue hit an all-time high, 710 million. Right. All of their teams, junior to senior, from finance to design to strategy, they're all fully remote. They work that perfectly. There are solutions, but that requires skills and training and support. Remote work itself is a skill. So if we throw companies in the deep end and say, just embrace remote, and we just let the grads kind of learn, you know, organically or let it happen, that won't work. Remote work needs to be intentional and deliberate. But that exact line that I just said to you about intentional and deliberate, I have been saying since 2018. We need a national target for Indigenous remote jobs and winning them into the market to actually fundamentally change it. And it's a mixture of pitching Ireland to these companies and training and skills supports.
Fundamental to this is trust, faith that the employee is actually doing their job properly and not sitting at home watching box sets or getting up to whatever else. Do you think that it is fair enough that in exchange for the ability, the right to continue to work from home, that employees should sacrifice a little bit of their privacy and maybe allow the introduction of technology that will, to a certain extent, a limited extent, supervise their activity at home?
No, I brought John Reardon, who is one of Ireland's foremost leaders in the space in the world of remote work, into actually a pillar bank back in 2020 when they were looking at transitioning to remote. And this thing about trust came up. And his point was, trust isn't just idle, you know, it's a system. And when you're working remotely, suddenly you have to start looking at outputs. It isn't just arbitrary, do I trust him or not? Is he sound or not? It's, are we reaching the targets that we said that we would reach? And I suppose that's where there's a big transformational project culturally that has to happen when you embrace remote. So I don't think that we need to go into the tracking. Like none of the brilliant remote companies that, you know, the million, multi-million euro companies, or indeed the small hundreds of thousand euro remote companies are doing that kind of tracking of or invasion of privacy. So I don't need to. I don't think so. Not in a great remote company.
So you're saying that tracking an employee's productivity is really the only measure that you need, and trusting them to otherwise meet their deadlines and just get the job done.
Yeah, and I say it as though it's simple. It's not. You know, there's roles where it's a little bit softer. It's harder to tell exactly week by week. But you as you work it into the company, you will refine it and you will get better. And then overall, the company will get better. And that's where this transformation will ultimately do companies favours in the long run. But it's an investment of time and capital and training. Yeah, and it's a significant shift.
It's a considerable investment of resource and thinking as well, because not only do you have to train your employees to do the job, but you now, as you're saying, also have to train them how to work remotely properly, how to upskill remotely and not get the organic benefit of being around senior colleagues and watching them do the same thing. There's an awful lot of added complexity for perhaps limited enough return for employees here.
For employers, do you mean?
Employers, excuse me, I beg your pardon. Yeah.
So, and that's where, I suppose the longer established companies, right, the companies of the age of AIB might not have the investment to go in, but companies who do invest in it come out the other side a lot stronger, and there are studies to back that up.
Are you perhaps a little bit deaf to the changed circumstances in which businesses find themselves in now? We're facing into some pretty rough headwinds. There's tariff changes here, which are really only at the thin end of the wedge of possible changes and need for enhanced competitiveness amongst businesses. And that adding this into the mix at this point in time is just asking too much.
So there's two things. I suppose I am an employer, right? I set up my own company. We grew it over the last 8 years. It's tough. And it's tough with all of the asks that come your way. All these leaves you're expected to give in and everything. It is really tough. There's two answers I'd give to that. One is embedding remote, as we just spoke about, should make us more competitive. And second, this isn't just about Irish employers. This is about Irish society. And so we shouldn't fully rely on forcing Irish companies to embed remote. Again, we should win in the already remote jobs into the market because they're landing in other European countries. The only reason that we would not set a target to win that in is lack of ambition. This isn't about forcing Irish employers into any position. This is about what's right for Ireland Inc. and is a win-win for everybody.
Tracy Keogh, co-founder and chair of Grow Remote, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you so much.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.